begin with, Jesus isn't on a mount. He's on a plain, a level place to address the crowd that has gathered and is growing. As he and his disciples enter this discourse together, the conversation deepens. Now, often when we hear this text, we tend to listen from the perspective of what the text is saying about us. Am I blessed or am I receiving woes? Where do we fit into Jesus' blessings? And I hope we're not the ones that he's describing when he's talking about those woes. I don't need any more woes in my life. As we listen to Jesus today, the lectionary invites us to hear this text through the lens of the season of Epiphany. We're still in the season of Epiphany, a season when God is revealed to us and to all of mankind, or humankind, through Jesus. And so we remember that this text isn't primarily communicating aspects of who we are as much as it is communicating something about who God is. Now, how many of you use social media? Some people, I would say half. Half of you use social media. In the world of social media, one of the ways to communicate is through the use of hashtags. Does anyone know what a hashtag is? Yeah, good. Okay, so a hashtag can also be described as a pound symbol or the number sign, right? Do you know what I'm talking about? Has anyone used a hashtag? Awesome, that's great. She's preaching about hashtags, that's so weird. But it's a way of categorizing posts so that you can look up what other people are saying about a particular topic. So one might look up hashtag ACC if you wanted to look on Twitter about the Anglican Church of Canada. Or hashtag BC Ferries, I think that's one of the most popular ones, to see what's happening with the ferries. Or hashtag Machosen Muse, there's actually a hashtag for that as well. Or any number of topics. So as you might know, or maybe you don't know, one of the most popular hashtags in all of social media is hashtag blessed. Now, it was just recently Valentine's Day, so most of the hashtags that I looked up just when I was writing this sermon on Instagram, there was 106 million posts featuring the hashtag blessed. But again, yes, it was just Valentine's Day. So most of them were love-related, feeling blessed for romantic love, for family, for friends, for chocolate, or to be a blessing to others by providing something for someone that they love as a sign of their love, like flowers or cards or food or chocolate. But there are literally a million other things that people felt blessed about. And that's not even counting all the other social media venues. I was just looking at Instagram. To be blessed in almost all of these situations means to have something or to have someone. Now, my good friend and colleague who I was talking to this week reminded me that our homiletics and liturgy professor at seminary, she always defined blessing in this way. She said that a blessing is naming God's presence in and with someone or something. It's when we name God's presence in and with someone or something. Now, naming God's presence is a very different way of considering what it means to be blessed than what we often think it means to be hashtag blessed. Sometimes we act as though blessing requires having obtained something. I'm so blessed to have this car or this job or this partner of my dreams, or to live here in Canada, or that I've had the success in my career. But this kind of thinking logically leads us to believe that without the something, whatever that may be, love, success, money, children, friendship, whatever it is, that without those things, that there is no blessing. My spouse died. I lost my job. My daughter's having a rough time. My parents are not doing so well. It can sometimes feel like there is no blessing. And if there is no blessing, then one begins to wonder where God's presence is. And isn't this precisely how our world tells us to understand both blessing and God? That blessing is only for some, but not for all. And the way we determine blessing is by what we have. And so for those who encounter tragedy or poverty or hunger, despair, any type of calamity, those who are without are somehow not blessed, which is also to say that God is not present. Recently, I've been watching a mini-series on CBC called Unspeakable. I don't know if any of you have seen it. But it's about the tainted blood crisis in Canada in the 1980s and 90s. It's a fictional series based on the experiences of people whose lives were impacted as a result of tainted blood. Now, the series was recommended to me in part by a good friend who had a classmate growing up that was one of the victims of this crisis. This friend was diagnosed with childhood leukemia, and she received blood transfusion and bone marrow donation in the period when the tainted blood was still being distributed. But as one of the characters in the series says, she was one of the lucky ones. Only contracting hepatitis C and not HIV, which we now know is the virus that causes AIDS. She's described as a lucky one, not because she has hepatitis C, but because, unlike so many others, she lived. Considered lucky because she contracted the less devastating disease. The reality is that thousands of people who trusted in our medical and healthcare system, in our governments, the reality is that in this situation, they were simply failed. They didn't do anything to deserve what happened, and nobody could possibly do anything to deserve a debilitating disease or a fatal illness or the death of a loved one or the loss of an ability to earn income or. The people who contracted AIDS from tainted products weren't any less hashtag blessed or unlucky than the people who managed to avoid receiving tainted blood products. But suddenly, the worldview of blessed and unblessed gets complicated and messy. It's where we can understand that saying, "There by the grace of God go I." Now, even though on some level we know that the things we have or the way we live, the healthcare that we have access to compared to others, is a part of a global inequality that doesn't make us more favored by God, but we continue to see ourselves as blessed by God, and when we do, that is deeply problematic. At the same time, we do little to challenge the idea that blessing extends beyond what we have and our ability to get it. At a certain level, we buy into the idea that some of us are simply more blessed than others. And it feels good when we are the recipients of blessing, of God's favor. We like to celebrate it and name it for the blessings that we've received, hence all those hashtags on Instagram. Photos of majestic Vancouver Island views with the caption, "So happy to live here, feeling very blessed." But that's the radical thing about Jesus' sermon on the plain. Jesus is revealing a whole new world of who is blessed. Now, up until this point in Israel's teaching, it was God who was blessed. "Blessed are you, O Lord of Israel." But there on the plain, the level place, with a great crowd of people and the newly called disciples, Jesus declares, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you all who are poor, hungry, who weep when people hate you." Notice that Jesus is speaking to everyone, which is to say, you all, We all experience poverty, hunger, grief, and sadness. I think we've all experienced what it means to be othered. Maybe it's not financial poverty, but poverty of spirit. Or maybe our hunger is for love or acceptance. Our tears for the children that we haven't been able to conceive or the children that we have lost. The love we've lost. The jobs we haven't been able to secure. Or any of these things that through no fault or lack of effort on our part is just a reality. Because here's the thing, all of us will experience great joy, and all of us will experience great sadness. Woe to you, Jesus says, you who are rich now, full now, laughing now, for those who speak well of you now. Now, this is a departure from what we hear in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew, it says, blessed are they. Blessed are they. But Luke is saying, blessed are you. On the plain, we hear Jesus say, I am with you. God is with you. Don't let your poverty or your riches allow you to forget God's presence. And this isn't a little thing, what Jesus is saying, what Jesus is revealing, that you are blessed. Not what you have or what you do. Blessing isn't a reward for good behavior or being born into the correct set of circumstances. Blessing isn't about being in the right place at the right time, although it can feel like that sometimes. Blessing, as Jesus is saying to us today, is about God's presence with us. And God is present with you, with me. We aren't blessed here in Machozen at St. Mary's because of what we have done, what we have accomplished, or what we haven't done. We are blessed because God is right here, right now with us. And we are together with all of creation, in the good times, in the bad times, and in all those in-between times, in the complexities of life, God is with us. And that we are hashtag blessed. And so in this time of Epiphany, let's see God revealed all around us in blessing, through us and with us, because we are a people blessed to be a blessing, to take part in God's revelation to the world that God loves so much. May God bless and keep us always. Amen.